This is the Hot Zone.
Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. I am in Los Angeles, California, and I've been driving around here for a couple days now. From north to south, this is a really big city. I mean, their mountains are pushed way back. They got a lot of space. And you can find nice neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods. And so I don't want to give you the impression that all of Los Angeles looks like what I'm about to show you. But I'm driving around the area that is known as Skid Row. And, you know, it's always been the bad part of town. That's why Skid Row is sort of a saying in the English language. I mean, it came from this area. But Skid Row is much worse than I have ever seen it. I've been here before. Last time was maybe 3 years ago. But I've never seen it like it is now. And what I'm going to do is just drive you through Skid Row. We're going to drive through this part of Los Angeles and I just give you a chance to see what a mess it is. This is unbelievable. So I'm just driving along. I'm going to turn the camera a little bit outward so you can just take a look at the massive. They say that there's something like 60,000 or more homeless people in Los Angeles now. I would say it's got to be at least that much. I mean, how do they even count? Let me turn into the sun here. See if I can keep from hitting this guy on his scooter. How do you even count the number of homeless people? I don't know. But there are these tents set up on the sides of the road here on the sidewalks, and this just goes on for miles. This is not just a couple of square blocks like this. This goes on and on and on and on, and it just keeps getting worse. I mean, it's like the homeless, any place within 5 miles of downtown where there's an open spot, you know, where a homeless person could sleep, there's probably a homeless person there. But down here, it is just, I mean, just solid, absolutely solid with, you know, a tremendous amount of drug use. You can tell there's, I mean, obviously, homelessness is in large part a function of the failure of the mental health system in the United States. It's a function of the failure of the drug war. This block down here is full of weed dispensaries, and I would say that this is probably the biggest reason why you have so many more homeless people here now than you did before, is because there are weed dispensaries everywhere. It's legal to smoke marijuana in public, and a lot of people are taking advantage of that right, that new ability that they don't have to hide it anymore. They just do it right out in the open. But look at this. I'm gonna see if I can keep from getting a rock thrown at my window or something down here. It's not a real safe place to be, as you can imagine. just a tremendous, tremendous, incredibly sad thing to see here. I'm just going block by block. Let's see if I can get through here. People crossing the street, wandering around. This guy's in his socks with his sleeping bag over his shoulder. And I'm kind of driving into the sun, so it's a little hard to see, but holy cow. It just goes on and on and on like this. I think about the fact that in Panama and many other countries that I've visited, you don't have a homelessness problem so much. Not like this. Not like this. Even in Raqqa, Syria, where I just left, a couple weeks ago, you didn't have this many homeless people. Raqqa was bombed to dust in the war. It was essentially just a completely crushed pile of rubble for quite some time. And they're still rebuilding that city even now. The war ended in 2017, so... But even now, they're still rebuilding Raqqa. And there are some street children. There are some people who live in the rubble. But not like this. These are whole... This is a city of homeless. It's a city of very... Not just down on their luck people, but... It's a city of mentally ill. It's a city of drug addicted. It's absolutely amazing to me the scope of misery that I'm witnessing right now. I mean, mind-boggling. I'm gonna turn around here. I mean, you go to Panama. Panama is much poorer than the United States per capita on average, much poorer. But you don't have homelessness like this because it's uncomfortable to be homeless in Panama. There are no programs to help you. Marijuana will get you put in jail. So it's not legal. And people have close family ties, family relationships. If you've got a uncle or a cousin who's, mentally ill, then the family deals with that. And here, none of those things are true. Look here along this street as I drive down the street here. And not all of these people are homeless. Some people are standing there waiting for a bus. In the middle of all this trash. I don't mean people trash. I mean trash. Actual refuse piled up on the side of the street. I don't know what day trash day is, but look, there. Off to my left here, there are some porta-potties. I guess in an attempt to keep people from defecating on the street like they... are famously doing all over in San Francisco. But the porta potties don't appear to be all that well used. I mean, ask yourself what you would do. Would you want to use a nasty porta potty where people had been doing drugs and who knows what in there? Or would you rather go find a street corner someplace and sort of, try to just do your business, as best you can. Yuck. So, who's to blame for this? Well, I mean, American culture is certainly dysfunctional has its own dysfunction. Every culture does. Do these people need more compassion? Yes. Do they need more justice? Yes. We're giving them neither justice nor compassion. And what we are giving them is license to engage in absolutely soul-sucking, life-destroying vice. And that's not doing them a favor. Just like it's not, doesn't do your kid a favor if you just hand your 12-year-old a bottle of whiskey and say, have a good time, kid. You don't want to do that. Just like you would not encourage your children, if you love them, to do things that are, there goes the fire truck. If you love your kids, you're not going to encourage them to do things that are unhealthy for them or damaging to their life that will limit their options in the future. But we've all known those kinds of parents who are just so permissive with their kids that they just won't say no to them. They won't do anything. They're just so passive. They just let their kids do whatever they want. And if their kids are screaming bloody murder in the restaurant or jumping up and down on the seat or causing a problem on the airplane. I saw a kid on the airplane a while back literally jumping up and down on the seat back tray and pulling the hair of the woman in front of him. And the mother sitting right next to the kid was not doing a thing about it. Just letting him as like shrug, you know, oh, well, nothing I can do. Yes, there is something you can do. You're bigger than he is, you know. But we've all known parents like that, and those parents don't just make their own lives miserable. They don't just make their children miserable. They make everybody around them miserable because of their permissiveness. And that, I think, is the problem that we see in Los Angeles, California, is that it has become so permissive that it really facilitates bad choices that lead to life-destroying consequences for literally tens of thousands of people every year. That is a failure of leadership. It's a failure of the government. And it's a failure, ultimately, of the voter. Because if this is happening and we as voters continue to elect people who allow it to happen, then we bear the ultimate responsibility for it. You know, the wealthy people here in Los Angeles, they don't see this because they're living up in Glendale, or, you know, they're living up in the nice parts of town. And I was up there yesterday. They are extremely insulated from anything unpleasant like what we're seeing here. But up there, parking your car costs about $25 for just a few hours. And buying a hamburger might be the same amount, might be $25. So what they're doing is they're just buying themselves out of paying attention to the misery that is rife in this city. There are plenty of people here in Los Angeles who can afford to do that. It's strange for me to just have come from Syria, from a month in Syria, and to be just shocked by the contrasts between Syria, a third world failed state, and a Los Angeles, which I would say resembles in many ways a failed state with Maseratis and BMWs on one end of town and massive sprawling homeless camp on the other end of town, neither of which is encouraging from the standpoint of it looks like this might get better at some point. When you have that kind of a divide, what it leads to is more anger, resentment, division, and violence eventually. And that's not a good thing. So that's all I got for today. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. I'm not going to do any more Hot Zones until after the first of the year. I'll maybe put up a couple of short, one, 2 minute things, depending on what I'm doing. But I want to wish all of you Merry Christmas. Don't forget the reason for the season is that a baby came to earth and lived among us and lived a sinless life and then died for our sins so that we could spend eternity in a place where there is no suffering, there is no homelessness, there is nobody who's unwanted, there's no sickness, there's no death. We should be very grateful for that and remember that. Christmas is not about all the commercialism. It's not even about just visiting with family, even though that's nice. Christmas is about remembering a Savior, Christ the Lord. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again next year. Chuck Holton, out.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media.
Copyright 2021.